Marty Oakley of the PPJ Gazette, and this is a special edition of TS Radio. For those of you who were with us last evening, and I understand we had quite a few of you, we're going to continue our conversation with Yoda, and what we're talking about is urban survival, how to thrive and survive in the event of a man-made or natural disaster. We covered a lot of territory last night, and hopefully this evening we'll get on to the specifics of how to survive. And so joining me is our guest, Yoda. Come on in, Yoda.
Hello, 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 Magic Marty. You sound good. How are you?
Good, good. We had quite a crowd last night. Things were pretty rocky there while we were on air, Yoda, but we turned out that we had quite a few listeners, and I think it'll probably be the same way tonight. I'm already getting emails that people cannot get in the chat room. I do apologize. I don't know why that is, what the problem is. I'm working with Blog Talk on it, but so far nothing's been resolved. Yoda, in our conversation last night, we talked about things that could possibly be, you know, disasters like a flood, a tornado, a hurricane, you know, just various things that could happen. Most of these that we discussed were weather related. They were natural disasters, things that just happen in the course of the planet spinning in the universe. The other disasters we need to talk about are man-made. And in your opinion, what might those disasters be?
In some descending order, Marty, our first concern now at the moment is a Middle East war that could be regional or, worst case, it could be a World War III. Intelligence units address that possibility in three levels of threat to us. In the least level of threat, that's a regional war there, will cause us instantaneous, massive disruptions here. I mean instantaneous, with the possibility of martial law being initiated here and other massive inconveniences like that. Other concerns that we have at the moment is riots, pre-planned riots, in big and middle-sized cities that have been pre-arranged by, as we say in the business, those that want to ready, set, and loot. They're easy to organize today with cell phones and iPads and whatever they run around with. Their main purpose is to loot, so we're concerned now with that. Police departments all over the country are discreetly gearing and training up for riots, as has never occurred in the past in our country. We've had some spectacular, memorable riots, such as L.A. and the convention in Chicago, but we're not a rioting people, basically. So those are the two main threats. Another threat is the possibility of a tyrannical government instituting martial law here. I've been in martial law situations in many countries, and we, the U.S. citizens, are totally unprepared for it here. It shuts society down. There's typically a curfew from dusk to dawn. The economy shuts down. You can't move around. And it's really hell to deal with. So those are basically the major man-made threats. Other ones now are everywhere. Rising crime. Crime is going off the chart. While the good city bureaucrats fudge the stats and lie to us about the real crime stats, typically they reduce felonies to misdemeanors, they reduce misdemeanors then to incidents, and they reduce incidents to what are called advisements. These stats are given to the FBI and publish them as what's really happening, but it isn't. Add to that that police are being laid off from one end of the country to the other due to the economy. In addition, when economy goes down, crime always goes up. The bad guys certainly read the newspaper. They know that there are fewer police on the street, they see fewer, so they commit more crimes to person and crimes to property, of course. So those are major, what's really going on now, threats to the good people we live with and around here.
I'm always kind of, it always amazes me that they'll come down with these cuts, and I consider them austerity measures. They don't call them that here, but that is exactly what they are. And what austerity basically gets down to is we're going to cut all of your services and the things that benefit you so that we can keep all of our stuff in place. And when you go government to government, just state to state, you see this massive waste in programs and activities that are going on within the government, this overstaffing, this hiring of excess personnel to perform most times enforcement aspects of some agency. And like I say, if you went through and just cut out the pointless, useless programs in these governments, in these state governments and the federal government, the money realized would be tremendous. But the other side of that is, of course, the CAFRs, the Comprehensive Annual Financial Reports, where they have their actual cash stashed. That's all the enterprise accounts, liquid accounts, foreign investment accounts. And everybody's getting a piece of those pies but you and me.
And the departments that need them.
Yeah, exactly.
The enormous SEIU union has a lot of contracts that require equally laying off librarians, park workers, I don't know what else, along with first responders, the coppers, the firefighters, and the medical people. So that leaves even fewer first responders on the street to help you. An expression we use is when seconds count, the cops and firefighters may well be minutes away. That was funny, Magic Marty.
Good. And it's just, the thing is, like I say, they'll cut these necessary services, and yet if you go towards one of their pet programs that they're making money off of, or that they created simply to employ some relative of theirs, and in many cases this is the case, they scream like banshees about how we can't give that up. Oh, we can't. It will harm everybody. No, it'll harm you. And that's the difference. When I see this cutting to critical services, and I consider police, firefighters, paramedics, those, I consider those critical personnel to any community. Why in the world would you cut down the numbers of those? And this happening while at the same time Homeland Security is expanding at a rate that we can't even keep up with. This makes no sense to me. But Yoda, on this issue also, we talked somewhat about the military last night, and what someone pointed out to me today, what is here of our military is minuscule because it has been dispersed all over the world so that it would not be here to defend us.
It's
when
totally,
this all falls apart.
Yeah, Marty, it's totally fragmented. I'm a veteran both of the Air Force and the U.S. Army, and I, in fact, work closely with some Army units, Marine units today. My best example of that, it was Clinton that almost had the 10th Mountain Division lose its colors. The division was broken up and just spread all the hell over the world, doing Lord knows what. And it's gone on since or before then. The size of the military today is truly bordering on unable to defend us, so leaving us vulnerable, really.
Yes, exactly. And one of the things you and I have discussed, and I have discussed with many other people, is the sighting of foreign troops on U.S. soil, where these people are being sequestered and hidden away at. Some of them I know are on bases, supposedly doing training, reciprocal training. I don't buy that for a minute. I know that during Bush 1, they trained Iraqi troops and Iranian troops in Kansas. And these are people that ended up fighting our own military. I don't know how we do this. I don't know how in good conscience these people that are running this dog and pony show do this stuff, but I think the key to it is they don't have a conscience. I do think we're being managed by psychopaths, by sociopaths. I think that we are, as John Lennon said, they're all maniacal. You know, they've just lost their minds. And I do think that's the case. As we move into our communities and we think about the possibilities of what could happen, and we've talked about the riots and the soaring crime rates, the another part of this is hyperinflation, as you've said, rising food and gas prices, and the cost of living increases. And then we talked last night about unemployment, underemployment, and the possible reduction of entitlements. And I really, that's a word I really take exception to, because it implies, in today's vernacular, it implies that you're just some lazy bum who doesn't want to work. There's a difference between don't want to work and there's no jobs. Go ahead.
The other side of that coin is, we are here in Southern California inundated with illegal Mexicans, Central and Latin Americans. And they can come here. They really learn the system. They're cashing out at about $2,000 a month in benefits. Now they're going to get food stamps. So while citizens here and people really needy, because they simply can't find work because there's no work, while they're stuck, here we are with the illegals at a rate of about $2,000 a month. It's ridiculous, really.
Wow. That's it. You know, we talked about this, too, here in Minnesota. They use the Minnesota Refugee Program. And these people, because we have a law that says if you're here illegally, you cannot access any social service benefits. So they just recategorize them. They call them refugees.
Yeah.
They're refugees. Yeah. And they're not refugees. They are not.
Well, you spoke eloquently last night about the Somalians. I think that should be of interest to our audience. That
of course,
alone.
Yeah, and that's the other thing that we spoke of, nation busting last night. And this is what they're doing, like up here in my area. This is German, Swede, French, Norwegian. This is who settled this area. Catholic, Lutheran, basically. They're bringing Somalis in here by the thousands and dumping them in our communities. These are people who are unemployable, who do not speak English, who are diametrically opposed to us, in not only in their religious beliefs, but in their political beliefs. And I'm telling you, I'm so sick of seeing these women with their heads wrapped up. I want to smack them and tell them to uncover that head and stand up like a human being.
Well,
it just infuriates me. But they bring these people in, and of course the immediate effect is it splits the community, which is the intention. It splits the community, and the intent of dumping all of these people in here is to destroy any sense of community, any sense of heritage, any cultural tradition. We are absolutely castigated for wanting to honor our generational traditions and holidays, and yet we are supposed to put up with halal markets where they have open meat hanging and flies all over it, and that's okay. And they can, if we employ them, we have to allow them time for prayer. The Christian people aren't allowed time for prayer. Jewish people are not allowed time for prayer. Why do we have to allow these? I noticed I walked into a McDonald's. I won't eat at McDonald's. I won't eat anything they fix. But I was with a friend who wanted to stop there. One of the girls behind the counter is dressed in this garb with the all wrapped up in her head and everything. And I said, why is she allowed to wear that when everyone else has to wear this uniform and this cap? Well, because she's Muslim.
There you go.
Then tell her to go back to one of those Mideastern countries, and she won't stand out like a sore thumb. You came here. Now, what I do not understand is, why do you want to come here if you hate us so much, if you despise our culture, if you despise our way of living, if you think, why do you want to bring the misery that you endured supposedly in the country you left here and reestablish it? I want to know.
As you know, Marty, I work here and elsewhere on the street armed with a badge. I work along with working with police departments, gang units, and whatever. And we constantly run into Latins. The officers are in uniform, I'm not, but we constantly run into Mexicans and Latins who boldly tell us that they want to convert here into what they've left in Mexico. So you ask the salient question, why the hell then don't they go back there? The answer, of course, is about the money, you know. The second source of income now for Mexico is billions that illegals working here send back.
Mm-hmm. $54 billion a year.
Sorry, Marty.
$54 billion a year goes back to Mexico.
But they don't even imagine that it's wrong to tell you that they want nothing to do with our culture, mores, traditions. They're happy to tell you this. I work
Go ahead.
I work with Mexican-born, raised officers that are here now. They're really loyal, heroic Americans. You can imagine how furious they get when they hear this nonsense, you know. But it goes on all the time. So we are indeed becoming Mexifornia day after day. Santa Ana is a large city. It's gang-infested, as are most here. It has a large department of about 650 sworn officers. That's a pretty good-sized department. Anyway, they are not allowed to work there now or take the test or lateral from another department without demonstrating a fluency in Spanish, period. So that tells me we've lost the war there. I've lived all over the world, as you know, spent a lot of time in Europe, and when immigrants come to any European country, they put the kids in school, and they immediately adopt and learn the host country language. Here, they simply don't, nor do they want to, you know. I have never seen, in all my ancient years, a confluence, a congregation of so many threats happening to us here now at one time. I've seen and fortunately lived through them all in hot spots overseas, typically one or two threats at a time, but I've never seen the plethora of threats that we're now confronted with. The economy, the non-border, on and on and on, as you eloquently articulate, Marty. So I am personally concerned that every day we're closer to a breakdown. I've fortunately lived through breakdowns elsewhere. And what I like to convey to people is they occur instantaneously. It's not like watching a movie. One minute everybody's running around and going to work and going wherever they go. And the next minute, it is massively shut down. So that's what people, we have to prepare for here, Marty.
And I agree with that. And like we spoke about last night, the prepper movement across the country is huge. It's huge. People are very aware that something has gone so terribly wrong that we have passed what I would call the tipping point. We're waiting for the other shoe to drop. And in anticipation of that, people are preparing. They're even for things like how to take care of waste, how to, you know, have clean water. Because one of the ways they're going to shut us down is to shut the water off. They're going to shut the power off.
Sure.
They're going to shut down the interstate so you can't leave.
Yeah.
and all of these troops that have been secreted around the country that they're bringing in. And we know that they are. We've been tracking them and spotting them for more than 2 years. We see them come in. We see them disappear into the wilderness. We never see them leave. These troops are going to be brought out against us. Now, and it was in 2010, I believe, General Renault from the Air Force signed an illegal instrument, which was clearly to me an act of treason against the people of the United States. He signed the Civil Assistance Agreement with Canada. And this allows Canadian troops to be brought across the border onto our soil and used against us. And the reason they gave this for this was there might be a forest fire or an earthquake or something where they might have expertise that we don't have. I don't know anybody that's got more expertise than we've got in anything.
Right.
But the last little caveat on there was, or in the case of civil unrest.
Oh.
We have also used our troops in Canada when they had that summit up there. They brought our troops up. We have video on that where the police suddenly just scaled the barricade and began attacking people, beat one old woman half to death. The people were standing there. They weren't even talking.
Yeah.
And they just, on cue, vaulted that barricade and went after them. We've seen this happen around the country. I think a couple of the test runs we saw was Waco and, of course, Ruby Ridge and the Murrah bombing in Oklahoma City. Everybody knows that was a put-up job. And we've seen them do test runs on this stuff. And they're gauging many things. They're gauging response. They're gauging the reaction of the public, how much panic set in, how compliant people become behind something like this, what can we get away with, what will they put up with. All of this is being watched and tracked and cataloged to see how you respond. And when I dug into this civil assistance agreement, one of the things I found in it, Yoda, was that the reason they were bringing foreign troops in to use against us, should they need to, was because if they used our own troops, they might have a natural inhibition against shooting their own countrymen, their own community
exactly.
members.
Exactly.
But, yes, but they could bring in a Canadian, and they would have no such inhibition.
I was in Beijing shortly after Tiananmen Square, that incident. I was there 4 days later. And in fact, they brought in Mongolian troops for the same reasons. There's a huge racial ethnic difference, of course, in Mongols and Chinese. You know, so they, all of the troops brought into that, killed an estimated 5,000 were Mongolian. They kept a printing shop open all night. Printing death certificates indicating it was heart attacks. I was close to one group there that kept showing me a family, kept showing me a nephew, I think, or young man who had been shot 5 times with an AK-47. His death certificate read heart attack. Well, I guess your heart would stop if you're shot 5 times, you know.
Yeah, I think so, Yoda. I think so.
I used to worry about the North American Union.
Uh-huh.
As you said, it was virtually open borders between Mexico, in all of North America, and
yes.
Canada. And much of that, in black and white, was exactly what you said. We could then have Mexican police, Mexican military, or Canadian running around here. We
yep.
could also have them protecting our waters. So at some point years ago, I was really now I'm concerned about half of the United Nations world being here running around. You know, I don't worry
yep.
about North American Union anymore.
Well, what was it here 2 years ago? They conscripted the 5th Army Division to the U.N., and 4 young men are sitting in prison for refusing to put on the UN uniform. And the one fellow that was able to make a statement said, "I signed up to defend the United States of America. Nobody said anything about the UN, and I'm not wearing their uniform." He's sitting in prison. And then last year, the UN voted themselves. I just love the way these governments work. Our own government does the same thing. They just vote themselves the right to do whatever they want to do. The UN voted itself the right to construct its own military with an eye on being, in the end, the only military in the world. And every country that's part of the UN is required to give them so many troops. And
President and his minion Hillary are promoting this on the floor of the UN.
Yes.
You know more about Article 21 than I do, but as acquainted as I am, it's right out of science fiction.
Mm-hmm.
They literally want to take guns away from private citizens in the entire world. They want authority to police the world with their troops. And it, as you know better than I, it goes on and on and on, doesn't it?
Yes, it
does. Do you think there's any possibility that could come to pass?
I think we're going to come dangerously close to it. One of the things is I hear from people from all over the globe, people that call me, and a lot of people from Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Germany, France, England, and people are all saying the same thing. What's the matter with you Americans? Everybody's waiting for you to stand up.
Yeah, true.
When you stand up, we'll stand up with you. What's wrong with you? And I begin to ask that same question myself. What the hell is wrong with us?
Philosophically, I'm not smart enough to figure out where politically correct came from or how it's taken over in absurd levels as it has here. I've given it some thought. I've read in, and I'm just not smart enough to figure out how that works, you know, how we fell for that.
Yeah. Well, I do think that all along when people say, oh, it's Obama. It's Obama, and he's a leftist, and he's this, and he's that. It's all of them. I don't care who's in there. I don't care what party's in there. They're all working on it. They're all trying to facilitate it. When who was it, Dempsey and Panetta sat there in front of that Senate committee and told Senator Jeff Sessions, that they wouldn't come to Congress for authorization to war. They would go to the UN and NATO. And then if they thought it was appropriate, they might notify Congress. Congress just got handed it its pink slip. And they did nothing.
And there went the Constitution, of course.
Yes. And these two jackasses sat there on TV, plainly telling our Senate, we won't be bothered with you. We don't have to be bothered with you. We answer to a higher power. They should have been frog marched out of that chamber and put right in jail. But, of course, they didn't. They went out to dinner with the same people that were sitting on that committee.
Yeah.
The corruption is just so mind-boggling. It's just so in your face. And nobody says anything. I've had people talk about the Supreme Court. Oh, the Supreme Court this. And the Supreme Court is not your friend. If you haven't figured out between Citizens Be United, if you didn't figure out over this mess on Obamacare, if you didn't figure out when they backed up Monsanto against private citizens, if you did not figure out that these people don't give a rat's ass about you or the law or the Constitution, I don't have anything to offer you. They put it right out there in plain writing. They don't care what the Constitution says. They don't care about our Constitution. And Yoda, I think what we need across this country is to stand up and demand a reaffirmation of our Constitution. And the only mandate the Supreme Court has, any court has, but the Supreme Court in particular, is to take a law that's brought before them, compare it to the Constitution. Is it in line with the Constitution? If it is not, The only thing they have left to do is to strike it down as null and void.
Exactly.
And yet they do everything but that. We need to get rid of this court. We need to get rid of a lot of things. I've always said we need a moratorium on Washington. We need to shut that thing down. don't let them vote on anything, spend any money, do anything until this gets cleaned up. I don't see that ever.
Our biggest enemy, Marty, and you're doing a wonderful job with this, is getting the word out. The enemy is people's natural desire to deny and repress what is probably coming. People are so beat up now trying to earn a living or get a job or convert part-time work to full-time or quit living with Aunt Martha on the farm. They just don't want to confront a more serious problem, a breakdown here. So they are deliberately in denial. I teach this to first responder families with a big ostrich, a big stuffed purple ostrich with its head in the sand. You are doing a wonderful job in getting through that damn denial and repression. I mentioned last night an example we use. Watch next time you're stopped at a red light in your car and pedestrians are crossing the street. Very few will look at the cars coming or make eye contact with you. This is willfully denying that the car coming is driven by some crackhead who stole the car, is about to run him over. So I really admire people that I've acquainted with your program, really admires your getting the workout go. You're doing great with that.
Well, I appreciate that. I don't know what to do to wake people up. We are standing on the edge of a cliff. And when this falls apart, and it will, it's going to, it's scheduled to, they're planning on it. The plan is that you have no food, you have no water, you have no energy, that you will have to come to them in submission to survive. And I'm just as damn determined I won't.
I've existed through that, and it's about the ultimate control. You know, they seek ultimate control of every molecule in your body, you know, food, water, everything.
Right.
I visited the Soviet Union. I spent time in Poland and Moscow. Actually, I was in more than 110 countries in an 11-year period. So I've seen this dreary, dangerous stuff firsthand, and something is coming here, and I believe it's closer every day.
I read
a list of signs to look for. If the audience will write to me, email at radio.magnifiedview.com, I will, on a complimentary basis, send them that list, of course.
Okay.
Let me say,
and Yoda's website is magnifiedview.com. If you get on over there, there's a lot of information. There are some really good articles. They're pretty new and up and coming, but it's a site worthwhile, and that's magnifiedview.com.
As you know, Mark, it's not a commercial site. We don't sell anything or make any money out of it. We do it at our own expense, as you do yours. You know that.
Yes. And it just, but we have got to get people, I have tried everything I've noticed on the net, and you know from reading my articles, Yoda, I document everything. I go back to the government documents, I go back to the legislation, I go back to, you know, whatever I can find that came from the government to support the contentions I make in my articles. And yet I will still have one or two people here or there that will try to post to my site. You cannot post any profanity on my site. You cannot do any name calling. You can't call people morons and idiots and retards and all that. It ain't going to happen on my site. Go to Jones or somebody else for that. They love that cesspool stuff, not me.
Oh.
We work too hard on our material to have it derailed with that kind of conversation, and I don't consider that conversation anyway. But anyway. But they will still write to me and say things like, you're such an idiot, you don't know what you're talking about, and you conspiracy theorists. And I've shown them the documents. I've shown them where in the documents that information is located. I didn't write those documents. I didn't write the legislation. I didn't vote on it.
I've done a lot of evacuations, Marty, and here's how jaded I've become, probably cynical. And it's similar to what you're saying. There's really no mandatory evacuation in the United States. If people, they use that term, but if people don't want to leave their home or business, they don't have to. So the minute I get serious resistance from the, I'm not there for the hell of it, you know, there's an imminent threat or we wouldn't be evacuating. I go on to the one I can help rather than spend time arguing, trying to persuade and convince the one that really doesn't want help. I extend that to persuading others casually or formally of the need to prepare today. I find in the seminar we give, some to the public, but mostly to first responder families, that they are now eager for the information that we have. We do an anonymous rating of us after the seminar. People rate us of what they thought of the information. We get glowing remarks about it, which I'm happy about. We've got an article at the moment on the blog called Terrorist Attack on America. That will give our audience an excellent view of what will probably occur with a major terrorist attack on us. So I would urge them to read that. Marty?
When people come to me with this stuff about, oh, it's a, you're a conspiracy theorist and this will never happen, I figure the country right now is split 50-50. There's those of us who are preparing, and someone said to me, well, what if you do all this preparation and nothing happens? Well, then damn good for us.
Isn't that stupid?
That is one of the most idiotic rationales I've ever heard for not doing something. Well, what if nothing? Well, what if it does?
Being older, you know, than you, I've heard that more than you have. Yeah. I can't even fathom that. The stupidity of that.
And it is stupid. It is stupid. You know, our grandparents. I can remember my grandmother canned everything. They grew a massive garden. They canned, they stored. We had a root cellar that she used. The potatoes and, you know, sweet potatoes and carrots and everything were put down there. And they were kept it underground, down below the frost line. So they stayed at about 55 degrees, which is ideal for cold storage of that type of stuff. But she canned everything. Absolutely nothing went to waste. Nothing. And I had asked her one time why she was just dogmatic about it. And she had been through the Great Depression. And she said, I remember going for days with no food. And she said, one of the things that haunted me was the times I had scraped my plate for the dogs.
Yeah.
Because I didn't like what my mother fixed to eat. And she said, I will never do that again. Whatever is on my plate, I eat it. And I'm thankful for it. And she said, I waste nothing. But see, we have been carefully trained to think that home canning is dangerous. Why, you could get botulism. You're more likely to get that out of something at the store.
Or that growing
a garden is somehow a hazard to the environment. And you just need to get what's at the store. And everything has been done to discourage people from storing food, from putting food up, growing their own food, and putting that food back for later use. You're going to wish you knew how to do that. That freezer that you're depending on probably isn't going to be running.
As you say, it's a paradox now. On the one hand, FEMA and others encourage you to prepare. They used to say for 3 days, now they're saying longer. While on the other hand, you can be accused of hoarding and Lord knows what if it's known you're preparing.
Yes.
So I don't know where hell that comes from. You're damned if you don't.
And that's the thing. This is what we talked about last night. plug your ears when they're talking. Watch what they do. Watch what they do.
Thank you.
Because the duplicity is horrendous. Like you say, on the one hand, they're encouraging you to be prepared and, you know, do this and do that. And then if you do, and we find out you're doing it, well, then we're going to come after you.
Yeah.
And people have talked about hiding food stores, hiding weaponry, hiding hygiene products, hiding whatever they need. In the event that something does happen there again, people said, oh, you're so crazy. Nothing's going to happen. Well, good. You sit there then. You said, don't knock on my door, though.
Yeah.
You know, when this falls apart, because you're not going to get any help here. And that's the way I feel about that. I am all for encouraging people to find others in their community that they can relate to, that they feel a connection with, that they feel like they could work with. And just between yourselves, be prepared. Set up a preparation plan. If something should happen, where are your children? Where are your children? How do you get them home if they're not home?
It's interesting here and elsewhere, Marty. Cops and firemen never really prepared. I was an old rust bucket street copper in the dark ages. You know, we had a fifth of something in the glove compartment. We ran around, we caught bad people and helped good people. Preparation was out of the question. Today, of their own initiative, coppers and firemen are preparing at home. So that's a serious message to me. If they're, of course, they're out gleaning a lot of information, you know, however locally they see what's going on and that, or what will probably go on shortly, and it's causing them to prepare for the first time. Ammunition,
well,
though, is at a shortage.
Intentionally so.
In fact, two large suburban SWAT units here, mind you, went and bought their ammunition at a gun show. No kidding. They couldn't get it through official channels. I know this personally. So you've got two, each suburb's about 150,000 people attached to San Diego. And they had to get together and go to a gun show. Is that absurd or what?
Yeah, it most certainly is.
Yoda,
what I want to know is this. You talk about this ammo shortage for our police departments, and they're cutting the personnel to our police departments and local law enforcement. They're cutting our first responders all the way across the board. What is wrong with people that they cannot see that this is a plan in action here?
Because the cities very effectively delude them. If you will, watch from now on, and you'll see crime everywhere is down. And it's, again, back to the blog, we describe in an article there how cunningly and cleverly the cities fudge the statistics they then publish. So many people run around believing crime is down, see? So that's another good excuse not to prepare.
Yeah.
Coppers here I work with in a beat car are running as many as 20 radio calls in a 10-hour shift, which is outrageous, you know. You're dispatched by a computer in the car, and you're constantly shuffling between priorities. You know, you have to go to the new urgent one, life-saving, life-threatening, that appears on the screen, of course. So in some areas now, people aren't getting response at all because it just falls off the back of the screen. If you've got a baby in terminal trouble, you can't go to somebody that just had their car stolen. You know, it's that simple, real.
Yeah.
So it is... The time to prepare, Gail.
It is, and one of the things I would suggest to everyone, if you can at all afford it, is a water purifier. You can go for quite some time without food, but you cannot go without water. Your body has got to have water. And so I would invest, if you're at all able to do it, into some kind of water purification system. Boiling water does not purify it. It will kill off a couple of the bigger, like Giardia and cystoblastosis or whatever it is that are in there that cause a parasitic infection. It will kill off those, and it will kill off some bacteria as it reaches boiling point. But all the heavy metals, all the toxins, any possible waste from prescription drugs, all of that is still in there. And you can suffer terribly from these things. So I suggest you get a water purification system, if you can afford it. And you need a good one, and the best ones I've seen out there are those Berkeys. We don't sell them. I don't have any vested interest there in promoting them. But I would suggest one of those. They seem to be top of the line. The day is going to come. You're going to turn on your faucet, and there isn't going to be any water.
Exactly. You hit the big one. Water is indeed the headache. It's so heavy. You need such a volume of water. People who are preparing here do a trick. They take old milk bottles, you know, the half gallon or gallon, whatever they are. They wash them out, and they're storing potable tap water in those bottles. You've got to keep them out of the sunlight, of course. Sunlight promotes some virus growth, bacterial size, even parasitic size growth.
Yes.
But that's an inexpensive way to store some water anyway. We're investigating a thing you stick in the ground, and I'm doing this poorly because we're just investigating it. It's inexpensive, and it produces quite a bit of water from the atmosphere at very little cost for this gadget, so I'll inform you about that as soon as we get more information about it.
Okay. One of the things that concerns me, Yoda, was here 3 years ago, Japan talked about medicating its population through the water supply. And they were talking about adding lithium to the water to make people docile, to slow them down, to keep them from getting upset over what was going on. Now, here about 6 years ago, when I first started earnestly writing and doing radio interviews for other stations and things, one of the things I had come across was the 2007 bill by Jim Oberstar from here in Minnesota, the Water Restoration Act, which when I read through it was simply this big legislative deal about changing navigable waters to waters of America, meaning all-encompassing, so that the federal government has total control over all water puddles, rain off your roof, so on and so forth. Now, that bill did not pass, but they have continually tried since then to make this change in language, which would change, of course, the intent of any laws. Now, if you think this is not a possibility, they wouldn't do it, they've already put one man out in Oregon in prison for 2 years for collecting rain that came off his roof in a barrel, because there's a law out there. You can't do that. Out in Colorado, the same thing. You cannot collect rainwater, and in fact, they are charging people for the water that's discharged from their properties that goes into the sewer system. Now, of course, the way my mind works, Yoda, if that's your water, and I don't have any right to it, and even if it falls as rain, then you owe me for storage of your water on my property. And that's just the way I see it. And if you want to reclaim that water and any damage it does, you are responsible for. But going back to this water supply thing, I was on a radio interview with Pastor Mark Dankoff. It's one of the first interviews I ever did, and it was behind this article I had written about Jim Oberstar's plan to capture all the water in the United States for the federal government. A fellow called in from Memphis, Tennessee, and he said, I'm driving to work, and they are putting in new water lines all down the highway here going on 44 going into Memphis. And he said, they're putting in a secondary line, and it's got valves every so many feet, and I can't figure out what this is for. Here about 5 years ago, right here in this little town where I live, they tore out every street. They redid the entire water supply and treatment system, and they have out here in front of my house, they dug down about 20 feet to lay these new lines. I walked to the edge of my yard, which at that time was like standing on the edge of a cliff, and looked down, and here we have the water main, and running alongside of it is a 4-inch line that has a valve about every 10 feet. And I asked the site supervisor, what's that second line for? And he told me to shut up and go in my house and mind my business. I took pictures of all of that. But my fear is that I think what we're probably facing is a pandemic that they're going to set loose on us. And rather than try to do it with aerosol spraying or to just simply salt the environment with it, I think it's going to come through the water supply system. And nobody's going to know what hit them. That's what I think is going to happen. I think that's what these secondary lines are for. It's because these had like digital valves on them so that they could be opened remotely.
Yes.
And that's what caused my concern. You could see that there was something, this was to for an additive of some kind to go into that water main. And I do think, Yoda, that that's what it is. Do you think I'm off base on that?
No, I'm acquainted with water and waste treatment and systems from a counter-sabotage perspective. You know, we're trained in how they work. We put on hazmat-level suits and run around as a test in water and waste treatment plants. So it's fair to say that I'm acquainted with water mains. And I have never heard of an auxiliary 3-inch line there, or whatever it is. I can't imagine the purpose of it. Other than
I can't either.
Yeah. What would the purpose be? It costs
exactly.
A fortune, you know. Valves every little while cost even more.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in a rather small town. You know.
Yes. This was another one of those deals, Yoda, that at the time they held city council meetings, and I went to them, and this project was going to cost between $9 and $10 million. Now, this is a small town. That is a huge, huge amount of money debt for this town to take on.
Well, it is to me, anyway.
Yeah.
While
I
think of it, you and I know each other. When I say, as you do, when I say I know, and I can document it.
Yes.
Guessing I say that, or if I think I'm saying that. In that spirit, I know that Fukushima is an absolute total threat to Japan, as we speak, and to the rest of the world. But I dare say, unless you have the resources and investigate, what have you, Magic Marty, heard about Fukushima lately? Nothing.
Well, the one thing I did hear was that here, was it 2 weeks ago, there was a 6.8 quake underneath that. And that it's being hit with swarms of quakes now, and they are afraid of it, absolutely blowing the base out from underneath it, and it's sinking into the ocean. If it does, this would be cataclysmic. It would just be absolutely cataclysmic. The people in Japan basically are walking dead people. They are so poisoned with radiation. That idiot Man Coulter, we call her Man Coulter because we don't know if that's a man or a woman, came out and said, was trying to tell on Fox News that radiation is actually good for you. I mean, what kind of puppets these people are, they'll say anything for a buck. And radiation is not good for you. Seeing signs of radiation sickness in Japan. The miscarriage rate behind this explosion, this meltdown, was just astronomical. And I think probably within 10 years, if there's anyone left on that island, they will probably be sequestered because they'll be so damn sick they can't take them anywhere else.
Well, radiated material is at this time arriving in British Columbia and some in Washington and Oregon as we speak. There was
yes.
a massive field of rubbish floating on the ocean. And one of the tides out of the Aleutians carried this stuff, is still carrying the stuff, to British Columbia, I think Alaska, but I think, but I know British Columbia, Oregon, and Washington. But, you know, you're unusually informed because you make it your business. I dare say that Martha and Charlie wouldn't have a clue at the moment about Fukushima or the risk there.
Yeah.
While we're at it, I'm near San Onofre, the nuclear plant. That's been down now for months, and they don't articulate why it's down that makes any sense, or
yeah.
when it might be back up. So there you go.
And they keep pushing this nuclear power. It's dangerous. I don't see that it's any more efficient, or if you're creating toxic waste as a result of what you're doing, you haven't accomplished anything. And what is it, San Francisco Bay, I think it is, they have found that those 55-gallon drums of toxic waste were just dropped in the bottom of San Francisco Bay during the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And now they're all leaking.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, the bay is dying off. But I'm telling you, Yoda, when I look at everything, if you look at something as an isolated incident, you can think to yourself, you can rationalize yourself and say, oh, it's not that bad. It's not, this is bad, but, you know, it's just here. But you can't look at just isolated incidences. You have to look at everything as a whole. What is happening all over? We've got all these toxic waste sites, these dump sites all over the United States. There's 258 of them. They're not marked. And they will sell you the land to build on top of them. The only way you might know you're on top of a toxic dump is that it will tell you you can't dig down below 8 feet. And
that
leaves your... Go ahead.
Do you happen to know Love's Park in St. Louis?
No.
That was contaminated with the worst carcinogen. It was a major project. Just an awesome event in the suburb of St. Louis. I read casually recently that that's now open for development. I don't think I'll be there.
Well, they're up there in Northern California, the Downey Hospital that got hit with the earthquake. We had a lady on, in fact, I hope to have her on again soon, who worked there as a nurse. She said the hospital split right down through the middle, and for months they worked in the hospital, tarped up and everything this way. So they built the new Kaiser Permanente Hospital,
yeah.
which is on top of a toxic dump.
Yeah.
It's this place that they filmed the movie Lemony Snickets. They dug a 3-football-sized field. They dug it out to create a fake lake. The actors, Jim Carrey, Meryl Streep, and all of them, were only there during shooting, but the crew had to stay out there, and many of those are now deathly sick or dead. And that hospital is built right on top of this toxic dump. And then here within the last 5 years, they've installed 2 nuclear reactors behind that hospital. And
would you believe they built San Onofre on a known fault line?
Oh, my God.
God's truth. They built it knowingly. They put big round springs under it. I laugh at the wrong times. With the real world I've chosen to be confronted with, I've got a sardonic sense of humor, as you know, Marty. But imagine arrogantly building the damn thing on a known fault line. Well, they did. So that's waiting to fall over. If you shake anything long enough, it's coming down, of course.
Of course. I don't know, Yoda, what's going to, like I say, my biggest concern is water and making sure that you have water. You can forage for enough food to keep you alive. I have visions, though, of the movie Gone with the Wind, where, and I remember reading actual accounts of the Old South, where food had become so scarce that people actually ate leaves off of trees, grass, they ate whatever they that's how bad it was. Everything had been destroyed. And one of the things, just as a side note on this, that came from that was starch collects in the ground down there because of clay and so on. Big blocks of starch, and people will cut that out of the ground. This came from the Civil War. When there was no food, and they will cut that out and wash it, cut it into cubes and stick a cube of that in their jaw, then go all day long on it. They even sell it bagged in the stores to this day. But that's from the Civil War when this terrible famine hit. And but people still chew starch. And it's just a collective memory from when there was no food. And but there are things you can do, but you must have water. You, if people don't do anything else, figure out, if worse came to worse, where would you get water?
Yeah.
Where is water located around you?
And how would you, you know?
Yes. How would you access it?
My parents were Great Depression people. Grandmother lived with us from France in a multi-generation household. She was a chef, and she wouldn't buy anything in a can. There wasn't much frozen then. She was too proud as a chef for that. So she canned everything, of course. We kept it in a basement. You know, we didn't have real cellars. Let me jog off to an outline, Marty, of what people really need to worry about today in the small or large cities, okay?
Yep.
And this is the seminar that we give to mostly first responder families. They found that during disasters, during events, the male or female cop or fireman left the house, of course, to respond. And with them went all the emergency skills. So that's how we initiated this seminar after Hurricane Andrew in 92 in Florida. The first part of this is general information, how to stay out of trouble and avoid trouble and get out of trouble. As I've said, crime inevitably increases in recessional times. And ironically, in their wisdom, cities cut back on first responders. Denial, repression is our biggest enemy. It's not going to happen to me, you know, Marty. It's going to happen to somebody else, right?
Uh-huh, right.
I've told you a couple of times about my crosswalk example.
Yes.
What save folk in these times is an increased, what we call, situational awareness. People run around preoccupied, especially in these days. They don't move their head around. They don't look around. So at home, they need to be in what we call a green alert level, which isn't very high. They should elevate to a blue alert level, looking at people around them at work or at play. And they should continue to elevate that in bad neighborhoods or tough areas. They should go to a red alert, moving their head around. That alone will save them. Almost every victim I've met for 50 years have told me the bad guys come out of nowhere. Well, I've never arrested a bad guy that knew how to come out of nowhere. What it really means is the poor victim wasn't looking around to see the bad guy. As to home security, we should all recognize and report suspicious activities. Any person today going door to door in a residential area, there is an incredible amount of what we call soft cases. You know the old expression, casing the joint?
Yes.
They come to the door to see who's home and what's in there and what time. They come under a guise of selling things, a lot of them. Some even as utilities, but be alert for any person door to door today. Persons entering back areas, persons running at any time that doesn't appear to be running. Watch for people in the neighborhood that should be in a static position. They should be stationary that are moving. And watch for people that should be moving that are sitting stationary, like in a parking lot. Watch for loiterers. Person running, carrying items is obvious. If they're running around with a TV set, well, they've probably just stolen it from somebody. Persons exhibiting unusual mental or physical symptoms. People behaving strangely. Watch for heavy traffic in and out of an apartment or home, freestanding home, during the day or night indicates drug dealing or some other bad activity. Watch for groups of young males wearing gang colors, displaying gang tattoos and signs. They typically all dress alike, so you can't sort them out and tell them apart. Do you have gangs in your little town, Marty?
Not in our little town, but north of us in St. Cloud, yeah. Yeah,
so I knew you did there. You simply
don't.
Yeah,
MS-13, yeah.
Keep it that way. You know, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Recognize suspicious vehicles. Those are slow-moving vehicles in the daytime or at night, especially without light. The first thing that comes to a cop's attention is a vehicle moving around without lights.
Mm-hmm.
You initially suspect it's a deuce or a drunk, but it's often a bad guy. Why they can't figure out that's an attention getter, I have no idea. Watch for drivers that appear aimless and repetitive circulating in a neighborhood. Watch for vehicles with numerous occupants appearing out of place for the neighborhood. Abandoned vehicles are a problem. They're often stolen more often than people think they are. Vandalized vehicles attract further blighting and vandalization. So if a vehicle is vandalized on a street, it's guaranteed next week. So will the other ones be, and that'll go on to houses. Persons detaching, of course, license plates or parts and accessories of the car. So that's the good stuff to watch for at home. Okay?
Okay.
I'll take a break. I'll talk about something.
Well, the thing is we all need to be aware of what's going on around us. I'll tell you, many people have expressed this to me. They're not so much concerned about local crime as they are what's going on out on the East Coast. They're worried what's coming from there. I talk to people all the time, and one of the comments I hear consistently is, I think those people are crazy. I'm afraid of what they're doing in Washington. What are they doing now? And I don't think at any point in our history there has been any more interest than there is right at this moment in what this bunch of jackasses is doing.
Wonderful.
I do think that's a good thing. I do think that's a good thing. One of the things that concerns me, Yoda, is that in school, these kids are not actually taught about the government. They're not taught how the government actually works, what the responsibility of each branch is. Last year, my youngest girl told me that they spent an hour on the Constitution. And I can remember spending a whole year on the Constitution, but we don't teach that anymore. We don't teach it. And we have to teach it at home. And like I say, what I would love to see happen is just a flood across the country demanding a reaffirmation of the Constitution and a dispensing of any law that is not in line with that Constitution.
Yay, Marty.
This would clean up a lot of the mess. It would, just doing that one simple thing, and it is a simple thing, would clean up a lot of the mess in Washington. One of the other things I suggested to people is We're one of the states, there's 17 that have recall capabilities. Recall these people from Washington. As a state, get together and say, you are no longer authorized to conduct business on behalf of this state. Come home. And, you know, or don't come home, but cease doing business in the name of the state. We are being sold out, sold off, deconstructed, torn apart, and these people in Washington are facilitating it. If I was people, and I've told people this, and I stand by it, Yoda, I'm not worried about some angry Muslim. I'm not worried about somebody getting on a plane. That 911 story was just that. It was a story. I don't believe Muslims attacked us. That was an inside job, as far as I'm concerned. The way those buildings fell told the whole story right there. That was planned. It was planned from inside. That's the only way it could have happened. And I don't believe the Muslim story. But what I am saying is this. These are the people you need to be afraid of. Nobody hates us for our freedoms any more than our own government. That's who hates us for our freedoms. And if you think that's wrong, you look at the Patriot Act, the Military Commissions Act, John Warner Defense Authorization Act, and the NDAA. Who is the target of every one of those pieces of legislation? We are. What got killed? Our constitutional protections and rights. Our own government did to us what no terrorist could have. They just absolutely brought the hammer down on us. And I think people have become more and more aware of this, that these laws are not about protecting us. They are about keeping the government safe from us out here. We are expendable. We're disposable. They wish a large number of us weren't here. And I think the day is coming when they're going to make sure a large number of us aren't here. And
well,
I truly believe that.
As you say, we're indeed being displaced, your word. Let me go back to your education comment. It's little known that a Saudi Arabian prince owns the major stock in the major textbook elementary K-8 in high school producer in the United States. So the textbooks, as we speak, are influenced mightily by a Saudi prince. This is, as most other things I say, readily available with a little research on the internet. So the kids are really being indoctrinated to what Saudis think they should be. There's from any grade, beginning first grade through high school, they're hearing the wonders of how we should all join Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it goes on and on, Marty. There were hundreds of independent cameras that filmed the airplanes hitting the towers and the one that screwed in the Pentagon. So I don't know how to get past the independent, non-affiliated cameras. ATMs, helicopters, traffic news helicopters. And, you know, the world's flooded with cameras today. The average lady visiting a mall today is photographed 200 times in 2 hours. How's that for privacy and surveillance?
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. I don't know what even to say. I remember the morning that 911 happened, and I was walking through the living room. I had the TV on, but I had the sound muted because I'd been on the phone, and I walked by and glanced and saw as that first tower went down. And I thought at the time, why are they, you know, taking those down? And because I have seen controlled demolition before.
Sure.
And there is no way that a 100-plus story tower fell in on itself. From an impact like that, it would have toppled off to one side in the direction the plane was flying. If it had been a natural demolition, if it had fallen because of these causes. But it didn't. It didn't. It came down, and not only did it do it, tower number 2 did the same thing. Tower 7. You can hear Silverstein yelling at him, pull it, pull it. And this tower goes down also. And it had just mysteriously, 3 days before, been vacated. And there was nothing in it to speak of. All the records had been moved out to the end of Pier 1 in New York. And so there was nothing in it. And you see this building do the same things Tower 1, Tower 2 did. There was explosions rippled through it. The middle of it caved in. The walls tilted inwards, and it fell in on itself just like Towers 1 and 2 did. It's an impossibility. It was not hit with anything. As far as the Pentagon goes, what you see is a blip on the screen, and what people reported that were in the area at the time was seeing something missile-like, and the actual hole punched in the Pentagon was only 14 feet in diameter. The front wall that they showed later on was pulled down by the fire department because it was unsafe. And this thing ripped through there, but people said they saw what looked like a missile. And Rumsfeld one time slipped up and said, you know, the missile that hit the Pentagon. And so I there's too many flaws in this story. There's too many things the 911 commission was told. There was evidence they could not look at, statements they could not read. There was testimony they could not hear, because here's the story, and your job is, and Hamilton came out afterwards and said, the whole thing is a sham. You know, they had this written before we ever had the meetings. And so, but I know I don't believe the Muslim story. I don't believe that they attacked us. I don't believe any of that. Bin Laden was never charged by the FBI for this crime. He was on the 10 most wanted, but not for 911. I'm not buying any of it. And this was done for a reason, because it scared the bejesus out of us to think that somebody commandeered three of our planes, four of them, whatever, flew them into the two landmark buildings in New York and brought them to the ground. 3,000 people died. For what? So that they could bring the Patriot Act out that they had come into office with. It's already written. Throw it on the floor of the House and the Senate, and 3 days later it's passed without even being read. First volley against the Constitution. The only time terrorism or terrorists are mentioned in that document is when there is a direct assault on our constitutional protections and rights. Then it is we they are referring to as terrorists and terrorism. And, of course, this was followed up by subsequent things, bills we've talked about, ending up with this final one from Obama, the NDAA, where they just outright say they have the right to, you know, strip us of our citizenship, detain us indefinitely, torture us if they want to, they can execute us if they want to, and we can't do a damn thing about it. There's nothing we have no recourse. We can't defend ourselves. We don't have a right to an attorney. We don't have anything. And on that note, this is one of the things with the illegal immigration that burns my butt. They're talking about these people's constitutional rights. They don't have any. They aren't citizens of this country.
When it comes to the NDAA,
they, you know, we have no rights. We don't have the Constitution. Go ahead.
They're actually getting food stamps here now. Were you aware?
Yes. Food stamps. Yes.
Yeah. In fact, I brought a U.S. citizen up from a lady up from Guadalajara, Mexico's second largest city. She had lived there for years and years. She was stricken with cancer. We help a lot of people with medical case management. Anyway, I was amazed at the benefit that she was entitled to. She had some of the finest care in the world. You know, free.
Mm-hmm.
The poor thing lasted 2 years. Guadalajara diagnosed nothing. They took all the money from her. The bastards even missed simple diabetes there.
Oh, my God.
But she was treated wonderfully for a couple years and didn't cost a penny. We have exquisite insurance on top of Medicare, you know, due to our age. We have a rider or a supplement that costs a fortune, and the gal we brought up got the same or as good a treatment as I do. Interesting. Well,
yeah. I don't know. And that's another thing, too. You know, and we've talked about this, Yoda, under Obamacare. People like you and me in our age groups, you hit 65, you're dust.
It's over.
That, you're toast. We have no value left. We have
help
nothing.
Help me with this, Marty. You got to help me.
Okay.
I have been in several countries with national health care. They have all failed utterly, including Britain. As you just said, it's 65. It's freaking over.
Yep.
They'll throw you a handful of pain pills and you're out of there. Other countries I visited, Italy was a tragedy. The same thing on and on and on. Why don't we ever hear the comparison of how terrible this is anywhere that it's been tried? I have never heard that in the media. Have you?
No, actually, I haven't. And the thing about it is people think they're getting national health care. No, you're not. This was a payoff to the insurance industry and the pharmaceutical industries, and that's all it is. It's like during Bush 2, they redid the Medicare Reform Act, which was just an outrageous assault on senior citizens. And they said, oh, it'll save $150 billion a year. It ended up costing $750 billion the first year. They are not allowed to negotiate drug prices. You're forced to take medications you don't want to take. This was just nothing but a big payoff to pharmaceutical companies. And under Obamacare, this is going to get far worse. Far, far worse.
The best I've heard about it in southern Italy, no, I was in Florence, never mind, anyway, was national health care is wonderful as long as you don't get sick.
Yeah.
There's
as long
truth
as you don't need it. Yeah.
I was staying in a world-class hotel in Florence that a friend of mine ran. He was general manager.
Mm-hmm.
And I took him to the hospital one day to get some chest stitches removed. Marty, it was out of the 15th century. Hypochondriacs were lined up around the block. They go there every day, which floods the system. The place was actually dirty, and I went from elegance to the 15th century. I finally couldn't deal with it. I thought, what the hell am I going to catch in here? So I took my friend back to the hotel, and I pulled the stitches for him. But I've seen it an utter travesty anywhere. Why doesn't anybody talk about that?
They're not going to talk about anything like that. And like you say, this is this Obamacare thing. You're already seeing insurance rates increase. And they talked about pre-existing conditions. Everybody will be covered. We can't deny you. And after they passed it for 2 days, because I was watching this closely on the mainstream media, we had these representatives and senators on there saying, everybody, nobody can be denied. Within a week, they were saying most people with a pre-existing condition. And at the end of the month, it would be at least some of the people with a pre-existing condition will be able to get insurance. But they never said at any instance, at any time was, that there was no cap put on what the insurance company could charge you for a premium. And so, yes, you are forced to buy this insurance. They're not trying to take care of people with a pre-existing condition. What they're trying to do is force those people to buy insurance at a very inflated rate.
All doctors are not the same. Some graduated last in their class. I don't want to go to those doctors.
Me either.
In these countries, the good doctors, of course, leave. Often throughout Europe and elsewhere, the minute they institute that, they go elsewhere to practice, you know, or they retire. It will be the same thing here if it continues. You can't pay guys that study 13 years, and especially what you pay the kid in the mailroom. You know, it's just not going to work.
No. I don't know. People are, you know, realizing, I myself have over the last 10 years, and I'm not much for taking any kind of medication. Most of the time it will cause you more problems than it will fix. And so I stay away from that stuff. But under Obamacare, you can be forced to take, and they're putting nanochips into the medication so that you can be surveilled remotely to see if you're taking your medication and if you're taking it like you're supposed to. In other words, at the degree they want you to take it. And with many people reacting harshly to medications, this is going to present a problem. But like I say, this is going to be a fiasco. It's going to break the country financially, as if other things have not. But that's something we will be talking about as we move closer to the implementation of Obamacare. And if you think this was strictly an Obama, the leftist, the groundwork was laid for this during Bush 2, the first term, the Electronics Records Act. He signed with executive order, and everybody's medical files started being cataloged electronically. And this was the groundwork for Obamacare. That is to be completed by 2014, the same year Obamacare comes into force. Now tell me these guys ain't working together. We've got about 3 minutes here, Yoda. Go ahead.
We have a lot of material on prepping to get through. We barely scratched the surface. It's a 6.5-hour seminar that I've condensed, you know, for this. But What do you want to do, boss?
We'll come back Monday night at 8:00 Central,
okay,
and do another episode of this, and just keep following this through. And again, I want to apologize. I've gotten dozens of emails from people that they weren't able to get in the chat room, and Miss American, who is in there, said she's had extreme difficulty getting in and has to keep changing her password. I have no idea what that's all about, and I do apologize. But we've got a lot of people out there listening. For those who want to see what Yoda does and what his site's about, it's magnifiedview.com. And there's contact information there. He's happy to share what he's got with you. So if you email him, it's at radio@magnifiedview.com. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. And there's no charge or any gimmick or, you know, strings with any of this, of course.
Okay. And we will be back Monday evening with Yoda and continue this conversation about urban survival and what we can anticipate here in the future. Tomorrow night we'll be doing our usual Sunday night guardianship abuse show. We have some people coming on that will probably blow your socks off with the stories they have to tell. We're making some progress with this, not as much as I would like to see, but we're still pushing ahead. That show a lot of attention, and we notice a lot of police departments and other offices are tuning in, which is a good thing. They need to hear what they didn't do. And
I owe you a conversation about that, Marty. I can help you with that. You know, we need a private conversation about it.
Okay. And I look forward to that, Yoda. For everybody, like I say, we'll be back Monday night with Yoda at 8 Central, and we'll continue this conversation. Tomorrow night is the show on guardianship abuse. And for right now, that's about it, folks. I want to thank everybody for being here. My apologies again to those who couldn't get into the chat room. Yoda, thank you for coming and spending the evening with us again. And
great to be with you, Marty. Be safe.
You do the same, Yoda. And we'll talk to y'all.
Talk to y'all
Monday night.